Today's episode is a coaching question about managing our time. I will share with you what I think the number one thing is that you need to do to figure out how to best manage your time. Let's go. Welcome to Mom Writes First, the podcast that helps busy moms reach their writing goals. I'm Jen Larimore. I'm a mom of five, a lawyer turned life coach, and I'm writing my very first book. I want to help you reach your writing goals too. If you're a mom who wants to jumpstart her journey as a writer, then you have to head over to my website, momfirstcoaching.com, and take the free quiz there. That quiz is going to show you how to take your mom superpower, you know, that characteristic that makes you an absolutely incredible mom to your kids, and then leverage that characteristic so that you can reach your writing goals. Again, the website is momfirstcoaching.com/quiz. Now on to today's episode. Hey, my friends, it's Jen here. I am recording this episode still from the road for you, and you're gonna probably hear it a little bit in my voice. We're having a lot of fun on this spring break trip, and sometimes that gets reflected in a voice that is a little bit worn down and maybe sounds a little different. But nonetheless, I'm here, you're here. Let's talk about this coaching question. I receive pretty regularly questions from clients, questions from folks on Instagram, questions from friends and colleagues and people that I know about, hey, Jen, how do you, as a mom of five, a working professional, a life coach, a podcaster, how do you manage all of your time? When they ask me that question, what I find them really asking is how can they better manage their time? How can they get more done? Often they have a goal or a dream that they want to pursue. Often they're feeling pretty overwhelmed and anxious with their day-to-day responsibilities, and so the idea of going out and doing something more feels like way too much. If that's you, if you feel like you have a lot going on in your personal life and in your professional life, and you don't think that there is any way to get those things done, much less add anything that is in that fulfillment or goal category to your life, then this episode is 100% for you, and you should listen all the way to the end. What I want to offer to you is something I see come up with my coaching clients a lot. First, it's not so much about getting more done, though I do get a lot done, and when my clients work with me on managing their time in a little bit different fashion, they too get more done. It really is not so much about the more. It's more about getting done what actually matters. And that's really crucial, because what often happens is that we waste a lot of our very precious time on things that do not matter, or that we say don't matter to us, but we spend our time, our most precious resource, on those things nonetheless. So if that's you, if you are wondering how to make your goals and yourself and your dreams a priority, then this is the first thing that I would suggest you do, and that is a time audit. As an attorney, I tracked all of my time in 6-minute increments. Some people hated having to track their time. I actually loved it because it really showed you what you were doing with your time every single day. And I think our time is our most precious resource. You can do this in your own personal life too. Doing a time audit is so important because every week we each have 168 hours. 168 hours that we get to decide what we're going to do with. Now, with those 168 hours, we can either create a human that is closer to becoming the you that you truly want to be, that best future self version of yourself that you dream of, or we can create the human that runs on default, more the same. I think that if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you have goals, that you want to reach. Hopefully big, bad writing goals. Chances are you're trying to create something really special and bold in your life. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's your first book like me. Maybe it's a journaling habit. How you use your time each week is what is going to determine whether you get there. Once you know how you have been using your time, you can then, with intention, decide what you want to change. You become more aware of the way in which you're using your time. If you have never done a time audit, then I bet you're going to be really surprised by how you are actually spending your time. And in today's world, our time is almost like a commodity. People try to catch it, right? Like they try to grab it. Those apps on your phone are specifically designed to catch you, bring you in, and take your time, because that's how they then sell you things. But a time audit lets you take back all of that time. It lets you see how you're spending it and helps you decide in the future how you want to spend it going forward. Another great thing about a time audit is that it gives you a chance to see that you might actually be doing really well in areas where you don't think that you're so great. So sometimes I work with moms who feel like they aren't very good moms. They beat up on themselves a lot. They work full-time jobs and they think they don't spend enough time with their kids. But when they actually look at it on paper, they start to realize that they do spend a good amount of time with their kids, taking care of their kids, doing things with their kids, and they're not bad moms at all. They're incredible, amazing, wonderful mothers who spend an enormous amount of time doing things for their family and for their children. But they don't always give themselves credit for that time. Another thing that they find is sometimes that the time that they spend doing things with their kids or for their kids is not always the way they would most want to spend that time. It's not quality time with their kids. It might be running their kids from activity to activity. And that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. My kids are in a ton of activities, and so the time I spend with them now looks different. So maybe instead of doing an art project with one of my kids, I'm driving her to her various practices. That time in the car can still be quality time and connection. It's an opportunity to connect, even if it's not making an art project like we might have done 4, 5, 6 years ago. That time is still important and it still matters. And I want to give myself credit for that time in my own head. Another thing that a lot of my clients find when they do their time audits is that they aren't really showing up as much as they think they are for themselves when it comes to their goals. What they often find in actuality is that they spend a lot of time thinking about their goal. For example, thinking about their goal about writing, thinking about how they want to be a writer and what it will mean when they're a writer, but they don't actually spend the time writing. And so when you start to bring some of this into your awareness, you start to shed a light on it. It honestly, it can take a lot of the shame and blame and guilt out of things because it's just data. It's very like mathematical and drama-free. And it allows you then to recalibrate and decide on purpose how you want to spend your time and then implement it. Running a time audit is how you assess how you are actually using your time and how you are putting to use those 168 precious hours that you get. It can be so powerful. I'm going to be starting a time audit this week. If you want to do this with me, I would love to have you join me on this adventure. Here are my tips for how to do that powerful time audit. Here are some tips. Number one, this is honestly, you have to do this. You need to let go of judgment, okay? Don't lie about how you're spending your time because it doesn't make any sense to do that. This time audit is something you're doing for yourself as a tool. Don't beat yourself up about it either. Please realize that you're only going to get anything helpful from doing this if you are honest about how you are spending your time and if you are kind to yourself about it. The first time I did a time audit, I was so distressed by what I was finding that I stopped midway. And I don't want that to happen for you. I want you to release all your judgment ahead of time. Like I said, this is just data, right? So imagine that you are an anthropologist studying your life. You're just here to learn. You're not here to judge. My number two tip is to pick a way of tracking that is easy and resonates with you. There are loads of apps that you can use. You can also just use good old-fashioned pen and paper, which is what I tend to do. Just pick whatever is easiest and get started on this journey of time auditing. Number three, track as accurately as you can, but do not obsess so much over the details on your first go around. You don't have to get down the exact minute to have this be meaningful. I know I shared with you that as an attorney, I tracked my time in 6-minute increments, but that's not how I track my time when I'm doing a time audit. Right now, when I'm doing a time audit, I look at it in terms of 15-minute increment. And I'll tell you this, you will be surprised how many 15-minute increments can be spent doing a deep dive down a rabbit hole on social media. You're going to be shocked by that one. So just go ahead and track in whatever increment or interval feels most useful for you right now. You can always change it. You can always mix it up. There's not a right or wrong way to do this. Number four, do not fall into the trap of trying to be perfect with this. Perfectionism really is the enemy here because it will absolutely stop you, especially as you first start out because you might not like what you're finding out. You aren't going to be used to tracking your time. And if you're trying to be perfect, you're going to beat yourself up and stop doing it right out of the gates. Judgment and perfectionism are going to stop you, and so don't let them. Number five, track every day, at least for a week. But, and here's the hitch, do not go back and look at your day until the week is up and fully recorded. This is going to allow you really to have a big picture perspective. I promise you, you're already going to be, by day 3, 4, 5, much more mindful about how you're spending your time just because you're writing it down and your brain is recording that information already. But don't go back and try to look for trends or patterns or do a full accounting of your time until the week is up. This is to forestall judgment and perfectionism from taking over and derailing your progress here. Number six, at the end of the week, go back and look at how you spent your time. Look for general categories of time. Look at sleep. Are you getting enough of it? Look at movement. Are you moving enough? Look at time with kids, time to yourself, time for work. And don't forget to look at the time that you're spending consuming content that's being given to you, whether it's on your phone, via social media, or via other forms of media like television. Once you have all that data, from there, you get to make adjustments based on what you're seeing. Understand that, of course, there are going to be parts that you don't find ideal. You don't need to explain it. You don't need to make excuses. Just acknowledge it. The truth is, there is no such thing as an ideal week in reality, especially when you're a mom. All we can do is consider how we want to use the 168 hours that we have each week and whether the data we are collecting shows that we are using our time the way that we say we want to. And finally, consider repeating this. I do this for usually 3 weeks at a time. This allows you to fine-tune. There is so much to be gained by making this practice of a time audit an iterative practice. If you ever want to get started on a time audit to reach your goals, send me a message at Mom Writes First. You can also find me at momfirstcoaching.com. I can't wait to hear from you. Hey, it's Jen here. Listen, if this podcast resonates with you, then would you please do me a favor? Number one, share it with somebody else. It's up to each of us to empower each other on this journey, and that's one of the values that I am trying really hard to live into as part of this podcast. So please, if this podcast resonates with you, share it with a friend who it might help to. Number two, it would mean so much to me if you would leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, because that will help other people find this show too. Third and finally, I want to invite you to get signed up for my absolutely free newsletter. Not spam, it's not salesy. I just want to support you in your writing goals. Head over to momfirstcoaching.com and you'll find a link there where you can easily sign up. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. In case nobody has told you today, you are a beautiful, resourceful, whole, creative human being. You are not broken. You are an incredible writer. Keep on writing. I will see you next time.